laws trying to limit them. Andrew Zimblist is an economics professor at Smith College. He says bot programs are sophisticated. A bot doesn't just immediately resell the tickets. Instead, it holds on to them for a while.
It can sell those tickets at its leisure. If it tried to sell all of the tickets at once, it might drive the price down. But if it sells them slowly over time, it can maintain a higher price.
So will this law and others like it around the country really help consumers?
California's anti-bot law was definitely a step in the right direction.
Chris Grimm is with Fan Freedom, a national organization that advocates for ticket buyers. He doubts the law will result in many criminal charges.
We would have liked to have seen a requirement that ticket sellers have to report evidence of bot use, to the proper authorities so they can go after and prosecute these bad actors.
Using ticket bots is now a misdemeanor in California. Among those who were in support of the law were Ticketmaster and StubHub. But in the battle of man versus machine, it's likely the bots will continue evolving, and states will have to change laws to keep up. And as for me and my friend, well, the bots got the best of us. We ended up forking over the cash to see Justin Timberlake, and we both thought he was worth every penny. In Sacramento, I'm Katie Orr for Marketplace.
Marketplace is supported by Lumosity.com, dedicated to improving memory, attention, and more with neuroscience-based games for the brain. Learn more at Lumosity.com. By the University of Maryland Smith School of Business, committed to transforming careers, rhsmith.umd.edu, rigorous, collaborative, engaged. And by BTS, a strategy implementation firm building alignment, mindset, and capabilities for strategy execution with business simulations and experiential learning, BTS.com. Additional support from the University of Southern California's Marshall School of Business.
This final note today in which Starbucks finally jumps the shark after insisting for years that a skinny soy vanilla triple pump whatever with whipped cream on it is actually somehow coffee here. Is where we find ourselves now. Ad Age is reporting that Starbucks has made a trademark filing for the word physio. People who know way more about these things than I do suspect it may mean the company is going to get into fizzy drinks. I prefer not to contemplate that at all. Large drip, please. Dark roast if you got it. All right, we're done. That's Marketplace from APM on this Monday. Today, the Dow up 64 points, 0.4%. The NASDAQ gained 23.6 tenths percent. The S&P 500 rose 6 points. That is 0.4%. Our daily production team includes Bridget Bodner and Lina Anwar. Millie Jefferson directs the show. Chow Tu is our digital producer. I'm Kai Rizdal. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. And this is APM.
And you are listening to KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Tonight, decreasing clouds, scattered showers, diminishing light, patchy fog. Lows around 43. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, scattered rain showers, highs around 47. Coming up next, the assembly meeting.
Should we get this thing over with, Yohan?
You bet. Get it done.
I call the Monday, October 14, 2013, assembly meeting number 2013-26 to order. And if you'll all stand and we'll do the flag salute. And Mr. Gibdahl, if you will honor us with leading us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the
nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Goodall. Roll call.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Dipdall?
Still here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Special order of business. We have, first off, the recognition of Mr. Dibdahl, our outgoing assembly member. And we have quite a few different things to do here tonight. So, holy smokes, look at that.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Harris, you want to come up with me here?
Yes.
Got to be a really big canoe.
Yeah, we couldn't bring that in.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Wow.
Gorgeous.
Paddle a cruise ship.
I have a letter here from Chris McNeil and Albert Kukesh, which I'll read to you. But even though this is Sea Alaska recognizing, we've always recognized you as an assembly member of all of Juneau. And we can just personally want to congratulate you on great service. But the letter from Chris McNeil and Albert Kukesh is on behalf of Sea Alaska and the tribal member shareholders. We would like to extend our appreciation for the many years of dedicated service you've contributed to the city and borough of Juneau as an assemblyman. Your contribution has extended beyond the city and has strengthened the region and the state. At Sea Alaska, we honor those who live with their native values and inspire others to dedicate time and effort to strengthen our people, culture, and homelands. You are an example of your personal, professional, and civic arenas, and we thank you for your ongoing commitment to our people in the region. And again, signed by Albert Kukesh, Chairman of the Board, and Chris McNeil, President and CEO.
Mr. Dibdahl, why don't you come up here and stand with us? And I guess I just wanted to say that I've been in service with Johan ever since I became a planning commissioner member after I retired from the city as a fire person, and that's been a long time. And Johan was here for, what, 23 years? 28 years? We can't even figure it out for sure, to tell you the truth. But he did a long stint with the Planning Commission. He lived through all of the first A.J. Mine Echo Bay meetings. There was 298 meetings in 1 year at one time. And Johan participated in almost every single one of those. And since then, he's taken part in taking care of our community and our people to the best of his ability and from his heart. As you notice, we have two paddles here today, and we knew that Johan was strong and athletic, and we expected him to be able to row back home to all of us with a paddle in each hand instead of just one paddle. So you've got your work cut out for you, and I think that you'll be sweating a little bit. But Mr. Dibdahl said the last time we gave a paddle away, it was the custom many years ago, even before Western contact, when one village would visit another, the host would give their guests the gift of a paddle. The symbolism was to take the paddle to use it to come back and visit many, many times afterwards. And we just want to say, Mr. Dibdahl, you're welcome here anytime that you wish to be here with us, and we really appreciate everything that you've done for us on the assembly and for the city and borough, and this whole region of Southeast Alaska that I know that you really love from the bottom of your heart. We'll let you speak if you wish.
Thank you very much. This is really a huge surprise, and we've got to have a really big log to make a canoe big enough for this paddle. Anyway, it's been a long 23 years, but they seem to slip by pretty quickly, and I've had the pleasure of serving with a lot of really good people, first on the Planning Commission. I've learned a few things. At that time, I swore every year that I was never going to run for the Assembly, and then I did. And then, thank God, somebody came up with term limits. Otherwise, I might be here for many, many more. But I do want to thank my family, too, for putting up with me. Some of them are here now, my children, grandchildren, my wife Ethel. And I'm sure that on some Monday nights now, I'll be able to give them rides when they need it. And it used to be Tuesday nights, and then I promised to watch more Monday night football from now on, too. And I want to thank all of the staff from the city and borough. I've worked with a lot of them, both on the Planning Commission and the Assembly. And in particular, I want to thank Lori and Beth, because they've made this job easy for me. And I also want to thank them. As I left the last meeting, I said it would be nice to have glasses up here, because on my parting comment, I wanted to leave with all the new Assembly here now that thought that there has never been, in my experience anyway, a downside at looking at a glass half full. And thank you all, and thanks to Juno for all your support.
Johan Dibdahl, Planning Commissioner, 2004, Assembly Member, 2004 to 2013, honoring 23 years of service to the City and Borough of Juneau. So each Assembly person got one of those to remind them. And we have for Shannon, you might want one too.
Yes.
And for Travis.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys, very much for sharing your dad with us. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want?
Appreciate it.
Do you want?
Does anybody else have something wish to say anything as we go down the line?
She's leaving. I think not going to sit up here anymore.
She's going to be leaving. So, if you want to say something, that's just okay.
Thank you, Johan. Thank you very much.
Johan, we're really going to miss you. I'm going to miss you for sure, because you've been a big help to me, and it will seem a little bit strange not to have you here. But we wish you the best, and the best with your family and your business that's going on, and please come back and see us.
Just imagine me out there on a conference call.
Mr. Wanamaker, anything?
Thank you, Johan, for all of your service to the community and the people.
Thank you.
Mr. Keel?
Johan, I try and learn from people who are better at things than me and smarter than me, and you fit both counts. So there are three things I'm trying to take away from serving with you. One is endless optimism. The other is abundant fairness. And the other is the one I'm having the hardest time with, and that is, except when you really have something to add, don't talk so much. So thank you.
Well, Johan, you don't say a lot, but I learned early on that when you do say something, that I needed to listen to it. So I really appreciated your wise counsel.
Johan, while it hasn't been a long time I've sat here, I've enjoyed it. Your wisdom is evident
every time you do talk, which isn't very often, but like Jesse, what I'll take is that you're much more calm in your approach to about everything than I am. I get pretty fired up sometimes, and that's good for me to listen to and to see, because 23 years could have taken a great big toll on somebody, and it doesn't appear to have taken a toll on you, and I appreciate that. That takes a ton of dedication to volunteer for that many years.
Thank you.
Well, I've only been up here for a year, but I've sat out there for a lot of years listening to you and learning from you, and I just really appreciated the opportunity to spend a year on the assembly with you and to learn. Thank you very much for a lot of years of service.
I forget my glass.
And his name's Hank.
Look at all those white
hats. I love the hat.
Over when we left the restaurant.
Oh, thank you, Dibdahl family. Good job.
Yeah.
Was Beth taking it back?
Speaking of wrap it up.
All right, the next order of business will be the swearing in of our newly elected officials, and we've already had two of the old ones sworn in upstairs, so they're completed their swearing in ceremony and everything, and that was a joke, ladies. And we'll start with Kate, and welcome aboard. Come on up, and we'll have the law department swear you in. You want to just sit there, Kate, for a second, because we're going to, or Ms. Troll, I guess I need to start being official here. And why don't you go ahead and come on up, and then we'll do the musical chairs here in just a minute. We need to first take care of another order of business, which is the election of a deputy mayor for the assembly. And right now we only have one person who has signed up to run for deputy mayor. Is there anybody else on the assembly who wishes to be deputy mayor at this time? Ms. Becker has signed up. And hearing Mr. Wanamaker?
I move we cast a unanimous ballot for Mary Becker for deputy mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Is there any objections to that? So ordered. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Congratulations, Ms. Becker. And now we'll stand up and do the musical chairs. And seniority-wise, if you look in your booklet, there was a draft seniority towards the front, I think it was, wasn't it, Lori? Mm-hmm. Towards the front of your book, a memorandum from Beth McEwen, deputy clerk, with the seniority list in it, and this is the seniority for our assembly now. Mayor Merrill Sanford, Deputy Mayor Mary Becker, Karen Crane, Randy Wanamaker, Jesse Keel, Carlton Smith, Jerry Nan Curvis, Lauren Jones, and Catherine Troll. So, if we all want to stand up, I guess you can just stay there. Since you're gonna need to.
Are you moving?
Hmm? No.
You're going to stay? Then I'll stay.
Crane's going to stay where she is. Randy, you're going to stay where you are now.
Yes.
Jesse?
I'll stay here. Thank you.
Jesse's staying where he is. Carlton's out. He wants to be in the next seat there. So Carlton will be there. Jerry Nan Curvis.
I'm fine.
Lauren Jones.
I'm fine.
Ms. Troll.
Mine.
All right. We have got the musical chairs completed. Very simple this time. All right, and I've already read the seniority list, and when we get to the end of the meeting, I'll be asking you all about our retreat coming up at the end of the month, the date for that, and also some topics for that that you may want to hear about. And also our goals that we'll set up for that retreat that day. So we have Madam Manager, Employee Recognition, Ms. Debbie Johnson.
Yes, and I'd like to ask our Finance Director, Bob Bartholomew, to come up and do the honors.
So what I want to do tonight is we want to recognize Debbie Johnson. She's lucky enough to be retiring at the end of the month. She's been with the city and borough for 32 years.
Wow.
She started
wow.
in 1981. So she has, as we did with Johan, she has done a lot of service for the city and borough. And she's in the Treasury Division. And her main claim to fame is she keeps the business flowing. So she oversees the mail room, and getting the mail out is one thing, but when we get all this mail every day that's addressed to CDJ, a little more description would be helpful. She can tell by the envelopes and by where it's coming from, pretty much where it needs to go so that it can keep going on its path and get the work done without being lost along the way. So it's that contribution that's going to be hard to replace. And since she was doing that so well, along the way, they added a few more duties. And she is responsible for basically the first phase of the bank reconciliation. So the old process of did every check that got written that showed up in the bank end up in the accounting system. So part of her duties is on a monthly basis making sure all of the checks that are issued on behalf of the hospital and on behalf of the school district are getting into the system and are reconciled to the bank. So, something that really helps us keep control of what we're doing and reporting on how things are going. So, we really appreciate everything you've done, Debbie, and you certainly deserve a nice break. And so, on behalf of the borough, we'd like to give you this certificate for 32 years of service, and we're going to miss you. Thank you very much.
The next order of business is a presentation of keeping the lights on after school, and we do have a person who signed up that wanted to talk to this, so if the assembly doesn't mind, we'll kind of move the rules around a little bit and let this one person talk on this resolution, and then we'll read it if it's okay with the assembly. So ordered. So, Carrie Campbell, will you come up? You wanted to say something?
How you doing? Let's see. Thank you very much, Mayor Stanford and the Assembly, for allowing me to speak today. My name is Terry Campbell, and I'm serving this year as an after-school ambassador for Alaska, which is a program under the National After School Alliance, which is an organization that promotes the importance of after-school programs across the nation. I'm also serving as a volunteer for our local Body and Mind after school program, the before and after school middle school program that's present at our DZ and Floyd Dryden middle schools this year. I'm really excited to be involved in the Lights On After School opportunities that we have this year. Lights On After School is an opportunity for sites, whether they're school-based or public or private, to actually shine the light and highlight both what they have with their after-school programs that are serving students and what they still need from their communities. It's an opportunity to raise awareness about the importance of after-school programs, but it's also an opportunity to have conversations about the increased investments that need to be made, both with personal time, with financial resources, with local, state, and possibly federal resources coming into play. We're excited in Juneau, and we really appreciate the mayor's ability to give us a Lights On After School resolution, a proclamation declaring October 17th, which is this Thursday, Lights On After School. Juneau will join about 8,000 other sites across the nation in celebrating their after-school programs, in inviting community members in increasing the attendance of students. Most of you are well aware that after-school programs are really important for young people. The hours between 3 and 5 are kind of dangerous times for our young people, and in this local community, there's been a big push to try to fill the need and fill the gap for our young people. The Body and Mind program, the BAM program at the middle school, is doing just that, and we want to really thank the Assembly and the city for the $50,000 allotment this year and the monies in the past for that particular program, because they're really seeing a lot of young people come in. Our goal this year with the Lights On After School activities that will happen in both middle schools, and we invite you to come on Thursday from 3 to 4:30 at either of the sites. Our goal really is to involve other kids, the kids that maybe have non-traditionally been joiners in our after-school programs. So we're offering sampler programs for them to engage in, whether they be dance and fitness-related, whether they be art or music-related, whether they be digital or technology, or increasingly involving our local partners in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics types of projects. So we invite you to come see what your investment is doing on Thursday the 17th. We thank you for your support, and we thank you for the proclamation. We want to thank your newest member, Kate Troll, for her contributions in healthy cooking and healthy eating. We want to reach out to the folks that have helped in the past and thank Kim Kiefer and others for promoting and supporting the program. We want to thank Brent Fisher for serving on the steering committee. And, again, invite the community to come in and see what's happening in after school. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Campbell. Mr. Ritchie, you want to come up? Ms. Campbell, stay up here, too. Come up here. You can come up with him. You guys have to stand out here with me.
Out here?
Kevin knows I love this company. Congratulations. Good job. The Office of the Mayor, City and Borough of Juneau, proclamation. Keeping the Lights On After School Day. Whereas Lights On After School, the national celebration of after school programs to be held this year on October 17, 2013, promotes the importance of quality after school programs in the lives of children, families, and communities. And whereas, according to a recent study by the University of Alaska, being involved in organized after school activities two or more times
per week was the most important protective factor for increasing the likelihood of getting A's and B's in school. And whereas more than 28 million children in the U.S. have parents who work outside the home, and 15.1 million children have no place to go after school. In Juneau, youth surveys indicate that up to two-thirds of our youth are usually without adult supervision after school. And whereas, thanks to quality after-school programs for Juneau's youth that provide safe, challenging, and engaging learning experiences, which help children develop social, emotional, physical, and academic skills, and whereas after-school programs support working families by ensuring their children are safe and productive after the regular school day ends, and whereas they help to build stronger communities by involving students, parents, business leaders, and adult volunteers in the lives of young people, thereby promoting positive relationships and engaging families, schools, and community partners in advancing the welfare of our children. And whereas school facilities and staff are an incredible effective resource for connecting with youth. And whereas schools also provide a cost-effective platform for providing a wide range of after-school youth activities in addition to other youth activities and organizations in Juneau. Now, therefore, I, Merrill Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the community and the Borough Assembly, do hereby proclaim October 17, 2013, as Lights On After School Day. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, to be affixed this 14th day of October 2013. Okay, many different things. We move on to the next topic on the agenda. And that's approval of minutes. We have September 21, 2013, Special Assembly Meeting 2013-24. Are there any corrections to those minutes? Seeing none, those minutes are approved. Next, we have September 23rd, 2013, Regular Assembly Meeting 2013-25. Are there any corrections or changes to those minutes? Hearing none, seeing none, those minutes are approved. We move on to manager's request for agenda changes.
None, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Now is the time that we go to public participation on non-agenda items. And this period is not to exceed a total of 20 minutes, nor more than 5 minutes for any individual. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I would expect us to keep them at 3 minutes. And first of all, no, that's okay. We're going to pull the Sister City resolution, and so we'll let you talk to the Sister City resolution when that comes up here and when we pull it off the consent agenda, if that's okay with the Sister City people. It is. So we only have one other person to talk to us about. Ms. Waring, what did you want to talk to us about?
The site lease for the cell tower at Enterprise. That's number 23, ordinance number 23.
Okay. When we get to that, then you'll be able to talk to that in public hearing, Ms. Warren. The only other thing.
May I sign up?
Yeah, come on up here. Who is that?
Barb Scheinberg.
Barb Scheinberg, how you doing?
What do you wish to talk about?
I know that not everyone was able to attend Southeast Conference, and I wanted to make sure that everyone on the Assembly had a copy of the Southeast by the Numbers and the Maritime Economy of Southeast Alaska, so I brought copies for everyone.
Ms. Scheinberg, I'll give you 3 minutes, and then after Ms. Scheinberg will be Mr. Paul Thomas, and he'll be speaking about Arrow Refuge. So go ahead, Ms. Scheinberg.
And that was actually really all I wanted to say. I just so I'll just
okay.
Leave copies here, and we're quite honored to have the contract with Southeast Conference to produce these, and I just wanted to make sure everyone on the Assembly had them. So
I think we sent them out electronically also, but
great. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Mr. Thomas, if you'll come up and give us your input.
Paul Thomas, 9040 Ninnis Drive, Juneau, Alaska. I also own Alaska Cash Liquor here in the downtown. I'll keep this short. I got a letter out with some more specifics on to you already today. So I'd just like to bring the Assembly's attention the hardships that are being forced on Juneau by the lack of competition, specifically in garbage pickup right now, although garbage storage still is a need that needs to be addressed. In a little over a year, the collection service has repetitively exploited the town due to the lack of competition. This started with a short notice of the new cans that don't physically fit in locations or too big for people to handle in Juneau's diverse environment. No thought was given to the dollars already spent by the public on cans, bare enclosures, and equipment that can no longer be used due to the rules of the new pickup, or how the public was supposed to deal with these 50 to 200% larger cans designed to be lifted with hydraulics in our pretty much never flat town around here. Everything's on a hill or stairs or something. Now, after their initial pitch that this should reduce our bills last year, they have hit us with a 58% increase in our bills this month. This is on top of the higher prices for the Blue Zone, which is for us all, that's downtown residents or people who live and work in the downtown, that they already implemented when they forced us to go to their new cans, which they now want us to rent. I urge the Assembly to keep looking for alternatives and competition for our city's garbage collection and disposal needs. We shouldn't be held hostage to the whims of what is essentially right now a monopoly. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Thomas? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Thomas. All right, we'll move forward to, that's the last of public participation. We'll move to the consent agenda. Is there anybody from the public who would request changes to the consent agenda other than ordinances for introduction? Seeing none?
Have you already removed the...
You can do that if you wish, Ms. Baxter. Go ahead. Just stay there and say that you want to remove which one it is, the Kalibo.
I would like the resolution to make Kalibo to the consent agenda because there's several properties that are on the license.
Thank you, Ms. Baxter, and we'll do that if there's no objections on the Assembly. Assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Seeing none. Assembly action, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt the consent agenda with the removal of 2663, the Sister City Resolution, for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Madam Clerk, Resolution 2663.
A resolution endorsing the creation of a sister city relationship with the municipality of Kalibo, capital of Aklan Province, in the province Republic of the Philippines, and requesting the Sister Cities Committee to proceed with the steps necessary to formalize the sister city relationship.
And we'll just go down the line of people who signed up to talk to us, and you'll have 3 minutes each. Larry Schneider. And then Dante Reyes. Dante, if you want to come up and sit here next to him. Mr. Schneider.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly.
Thank you again for this opportunity to express a little bit of information about our possible sister city of Kalibo. If you could, just for the record, name and where you live. Yep, I'm sorry. My name is Larry Snyder, and I live in the valley. I live in Turn Street. I've lived here in Juneau for probably 25 years, the first time, or this is actually the second time. And I'm a retiree from the Coast Guard. I worked here with Sector Juneau for over 20 years and had an opportunity to work with our commercial fishing fleet for all those 20 years. And as a safety specialist and coordinating a safety program with the commercial fleet here. One of the things that I wanted to discuss or talk about is the sister city relationship is that my wife is a Filipino, one of over 3,000 Filipinos here in Juneau, and she's from Auckland, and her home is Kalibo. And I know that this sister city relationship can benefit all of us a great deal. And speaking from the topic that I'm most familiar with, and that is commercial fishing, is that I think that this might be a wonderful opportunity for southeastern Alaska, Juneau in particular, to reach out with some of our products and some of our knowledge on seafood. And I know that's that Kalibo would be receptive to such ideas. And I've already reached out to the Sea Grant people several years ago and talked to them about some of the possible opportunities of working with moving some of our seafood products to the Philippines. And they were very interested in the idea, and actually a study was done in that area. But I just wanted to also express that I am retired, and I retired about 4 years ago from Sector Juneau, and now I'm a part-time resident in Kalibo. I spend half of my year, better known as a snowbird, and I go to Kalibo for 6 months out of the year now. And so I hope to have the opportunity to maybe address some of Juneau's interests and concerns with Kalibo. And we have, you know, many friends and family in the Kalibo region. And I think that this relationship between Juneau and Kalibo can foster into something very, very significant in the future. And I just wanted to share some of those ideas with everyone here tonight. And I would like to say thank you for the opportunity of speaking.
Thank you. Mr. Snyder, are there any questions for Mr. Snyder? Seeing, thank you very much. Mr. Reyes, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for giving me this opportunity to speak with the Assembly tonight. Also, I'm here on behalf of the Filipino community in Juneau, and specifically for the special proclamation here for the sister city between Juneau and Kalibo. And as you know, I'm also from the province of Auckland, not necessarily Kalibo, but the very vicinity of Kalibo. And my name, by the way, is Dante Reyes, and presently I'm the president of the Filipino Community Inc. here in Juneau. And I'd like to express on behalf of the more than 800 Aklanons in the municipality of Juneau, out of the 3,000 Filipinos, we are in support of the CBJ proclamation of this Juneau. And I thank the committee, the Sister City Committee, and also the CBJ Assembly for giving us the opportunity for this particular proclamation for the city of Kalibo and the city of Juneau.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Reyes. Are there any questions for Mr. Reyes? Hearing none, thank you very much. Ms. Baxter, did you want to say anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to put it okay by your name. And that's the last person to testify publicly. Public testimony is closed. And we'll move on to the wish of Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of resolution serial number 2663 and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Thank you. We'll move on to public hearing and ordinance 2013-23. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance authorizing the manager to execute a site lease with Alaska Wireless Network, LLC, for the construction, operation, and maintenance of a telecommunication tower facility at Eagle Crest Ski Area.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager.
The lack of cellular telephone service at Eagle Crest Ski Area has posed safety problems in the past. The Alaska Wireless Network has proposed to install a 50-foot-high wireless telecommunication facility at the base of the mountain near the parking lot and lower Porcupine chairlift, which the Eagle Crest Board approved in concept at its June 6, 2013 board meeting. The proposed lease area is 20 feet by 20 feet. It would contain a single 50-foot-high wood pole with an antenna on top and equipment cabinet at ground level and surrounded by a 10-foot-high wood fence. The lease would be for a 5-year term, renewable for up to 3 additional 5-year terms. The initial lease rate would be $750 a month with a 3% increase annually. Because the property was developed in part through the Federal Land and Water Conservation Grant Program, it is affected by certain restrictions prohibiting property purchased with land water conservation funds to be used for anything other than public outdoor recreation use. Staff has recently obtained a determination from the National Park Service and the Alaska Department of Natural Resources Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation Grants Manager authorizing, for the public safety reason, the proposed telecommunication facility, otherwise considered a disallowed or converted use. The ordinance would authorize the manager to negotiate and execute a lease with the Alaska Wireless Network. The project was recommended for approval by the Planning Commission on August 15, 2013. The Lands Committee recommended forwarding this ordinance to the full assembly for approval at its September 30, 2013 meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment? We have one, Ms. Margot Waring. Is there anybody else who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Thank you, Ms. Waring. You have whatever you wish to take here. Name and address.
Thank you. I'm Margot Waring. I live at 11380 North Douglas Highway. And I urge you to reject this proposed ordinance for several reasons. The first is that construction of this telecommunication facility would mean that within a space of, now I haven't actually done the mileage, but 5 and 6 miles, there will be 3 towers in a row, one at Spoon Island, one at the quarry on the Eagle Crest Road, and one at the base of the mountain. Why we need so many within such a short distance is, frankly, a mystery to me, but perhaps someone else could explain that. That's one reason. The second reason is that, in actual fact, cell service has improved greatly at Eagle Crest over the last couple of years, so much so that in its annual statements that get sent out to people on their mailing list, which somehow happened to be me, there's been some boasting about how Eagle Crest's cell service has improved dramatically over the last year or two. And certainly that's been my own personal experience. We no longer have any difficulty when we're up at Eagle Crest with cell service. The third reason is that I'm not sure if you're aware that CBJ's Community Development Department has in process a plan for the siting of telecommunication towers. it is a process underway. At the same time that the plan seems to be going forward, there seems to be this rush by various companies to nail down their towers before the plan goes into effect. And I would really urge you to delay consideration of this proposal until the plan is completed, until we can understand more fully the relationship of these various service providers, their various towers, the various directions and intensities of service before we go ahead and give a 15-year lease at a very favorable rate to another cell tower that seems to be quite redundant given these cell towers within just a few miles of the proposed one. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Waring. Is there any questions for Ms. Waring? Seeing none, thank you very much, ma'am. We'll move on to assembly action on this item. Ms. Crane?
Well, I have a question for the city manager. So do you want a motion first and then the question?
Yes, please.
I would move that we adopt ordinance 2013-23 for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Go ahead.
Where are we with the cell tower plan? We've been working on this plan for 3 years. Are we close to having a plan done, or where are we with it?
We had a contract with the person working on the plan. That contract expired, and we are in the process of negotiating with them a new contract to finish up the plan that they started.
I just know that every time we have one of these come before us, we always say we need a plan, we don't want to adopt anymore without a plan, and yet they continue to come forward. So I think Ms. Waring makes a good point, but if it's going to be another 2 years until we get a plan, I have some concern. So.
I know that it's on the mayor's list of things to do for law and for CDD to do for law, and I know it's on the city manager's list for them to get together, and hopefully with some of the things that have been accomplished here in the past 6 months, that those will be moving up the ladder into active status, and we'll get them done in the next 6 months. So. Any other questions, Mr. Jones?
Again, I guess for the manager, at I think it was a planning commission meeting a couple weeks ago, there were some issues about the cell tower on Spoon Island because of the blinking strobe light in the neighborhood. I wasn't aware that there was a cell tower, I guess, at the quarry near Eagle Crest. Are these, and I know that there's competition for all these cell phone providers to have their own sort of cell towers. Are all three of those owned by different networks, or are all three of them owned by the same network? Is one GCI, one ATT, this is AWN or something, Alaska Wireless Network?
I don't know who owns the three towers. I can get that information to you tomorrow.
I'm just wondering if maybe we're having so many towers just simply because each separate cell phone provider wants
Mr.
to Kim? Put up their own towers.
Thank you, Mr. Kim.
Mr. Mayor, follow-up to Mr. Jones' question, I can't speak to the tower on Spoon Island. The tower at the Fish Creek Quarry is actually by a cell tower company that doesn't operate any networks, Atlas Tower. They're strictly in the business of building them and leasing space to anybody who wants to hang gear on them. The tower proposed for Eagle Crest is proposed by two telecom providers in cooperation. GCI and ACS are building infrastructure together. But I noticed that the proposed lease here is the same terms that the city provided for the Atlas Tower at Fish Creek, which provides market rate lease revenue sharing with the city from additional telecom companies. So it's a market rate deal, and the city is getting the revenue return. In terms of how these towers are going up elsewhere in the CBJ. I really only have the ability to track the ones that want to use city land. So I know that of the three you mentioned, there are at least two different telecom companies involved and probably more than that.
Mr. Jones?
In the ordinance, it talked about, at least I think Margot mentioned, a favorable rate of $750 a month. If I remember right, at the Lands Committee meeting as our backup for that information, there was going to be an actual appraisal on the value of that land, and so that this lease cost may go up or down based on the valuation of that land was in the backup material at the Lands Committee. But that valuation or assessment had not been done yet. Do you know if that's done? Will that factor into your negotiation on the lease?
I will ask Mr. Cheney to come up, the lands manager, to answer those questions.
Mr. Cheney, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. We recently received an appraisal for the tower site at Eagle Crest, and the appraiser found that the proposed $750 a month was right on target for the market rate for that facility.
Thank you. Any other questions? Ms. Beckner?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Waring spoke about the improvement in cell tower, cell service up there now. So what is the condition? It does say has posed safety problems in the past. What's the condition today?
I will have the Eagle Crest manager, because he is in the best position to answer that question.
Thank you for considering the lease. So from a service standpoint, there have been some improvements, and it's really based on towers elsewhere in the city looking up the valley. I do have some propagation maps I can share, and they do show there's a significant break from, for instance, the Fish Creek Quarry Tower as you're coming up the road for about 2 miles as you get near the base area. And really, one of the biggest needs of the ski area now is the base area itself. It is essentially a black hole. If you stood in the parking lot and got in service, you're incredibly lucky. I know all of our staff don't. I've heard anecdotal stories of people doing it. But there are some pretty serious safety concerns that we look at as far as guests being able to get out. And unfortunately, in this day and age, as we all know, cell phones are pretty much a necessity for people and the ability not to use it. It's something off the top of my mind. If you read in the paper today about the Juneau Mountain Rescue that happened Saturday night, that rescue was based out of the Eagle Crest ski area. And as it turned out, the rescue would have been sped up had a family member of one of the lost hikers been able to check their cell phone, because they actually went down the mountain, got halfway down North Douglas Highway, got a voicemail from about an hour earlier telling her where they were, and then they ran back up to the base lodge, and an hour and a half later we found them. So things like that are of utmost importance for us. It certainly happens. It happens in the winter, in the summer, in any season, and every minute can count. So we look at one of those huge safety issues, and operationally it's another redundant system that we can have to reach out for rescue personnel and other matters.
Thank you. Any questions? Ms. Troll?
The question for the manager, what's the downside of delaying this lease until we do have the cell phone plan done, if it's a six-month time frame that the mayor's referred to?
Well, I think you just heard it, the safety concerns for Eagle Crest, and that it may be done in 6 months, and then it has to go through the process of coming through the assembly public hearing. So 6 months is probably very optimistic.
Okay.
To be able to have it completed by that time.
Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to support Ordinance 2013-23 for the public safety reasons that have been discussed. We have a lot of children that go to that area. They learn skiing. Their parents deserve some peace of mind in being able to locate them. A number of years ago, this assembly approved funding so that the police department could add additional equipment to help locate people carrying cell phones as a safety feature so that we could get to them in an emergency. This is entirely consistent with that, but it's also an incentive for our staff to finish that plan. I don't think we should delay this. I think we should adopt it tonight and encourages staff to complete the cell phone siting plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Any other comments? What's the wishes of the Assembly?
Question.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Is there anybody opposed? Excuse me. Is there any opposed to the wireless communications 2013-23? Seeing none, the ordinance is adopted. We'll move on to ordinance 2013-11Q. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance adopting to the manager the sum of $106,000 as funding for the empty chair memorial, appropriating to the manager. Grant funding provided by the U.S. Department of Interior, National Park Service, and donations provided by the Empty Chair Committee.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager.
Funding is provided by an $80,000 National Park Service Japanese American Confinement Site grant. The required match of $40,000 was raised entirely by the Empty Chair Committee, $26,000 in monetary donations and $14,000 in in-kind donations. The funding would be used for the construction and installation of a memorial to honor the Juneau citizens of Japanese descent who were removed from the community and confined to internment camps during World War II. One among them was a Juneau High School senior who had been looking forward to his graduation, especially since he was going to be the class valedictorian. Out of respect for him, a special graduation was held before he was sent away. When his class graduated a month later, a chair stood empty to mark his absence and, by extension, the rest of the Japanese community. The empty chair memorial will be installed at Capitol Park and will remind us of this disruptive period and educate those viewing it with related educational materials that will include distribution in schools, libraries, and museums in the hopes that this type of injustice is never repeated. The Historic Resource Advisory Committee reviewed and endorsed this project at its May 2, 2012 meeting. The Parks and Rec Advisory Committee reviewed and recommended approval of this project at its September 3, 2013 meeting, and the Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this project at its meeting this afternoon and recommended forward it to the Assembly. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak on ordinance 2013-11Q? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Assembly approval of ordinance 2013-11Q. I ask for unanimous consent, but I wish to speak to it also. I support this with all of my heart. Some of the people that were relocated from this community were relatives of mine, and some of my classmates were born in the internment camps. Students here at J-High were born in the internment camps. I think this is a fitting way of honoring their memory and the sacrifices that they made, even though the sacrifices were involuntary. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Is there any objections to the approval of adopting 2013-11Q? Seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. We'll move on to the next ordinance 2013-11R. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $50,000 as funding for a parking manager. Funding provided by the Parking in Lieu Fee Fund and the Downtown Parking Fund balances.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager.
Funding is needed to continue professional implementation of the CBJ Downtown Parking Management Plan adopted by the Assembly in 2010. Over the past 4 years, the number of downtown parking spaces to be managed has increased from 327 to 873 spaces. Since the inception of the Parking Management Plan, the necessary implementation workload has been absorbed by existing staff in the Departments of Community Development and Parks and Recreation. This reallocation of resources has been detrimental to the primary responsibility and mission of the staff involved, and it is not a sustainable solution. At its September 11, 2013 meeting, the Assembly Finance Committee recommended an ordinance be prepared and forwarded to the Assembly. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to Ordinance 2013-11R? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward with Assembly action. Madam Crane?
I move adoption of Ordinance 2013-11R and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections?
Objection.
Objection.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, please read the roll.
Could we speak to it first, please?
Yes. Go ahead. Whoever wishes to go first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I brought this up the last time this issue came in front of us, and I believe Mr. Wanamaker said some of the things I was thinking as well, that we have a tendency in the city and borough that once we create a job that we have it for a long time. There's a number of things that lead me to not support this ordinance. We are looking at the probability of reduced state funding coming to the city. We're looking at the probability of reduced federal funding coming to the city. They can't even reach an agreement right now in Washington. So I don't think it bodes well for us. And we, as an assembly, have looked at ways to reduce the cost of government in the past. This looks to me like an increase in government. I can't see any way that it's not an increase in the cost of government. And I would argue that the inverse is true, that while we have increased the spaces, it is easier. There are less complaints about parking downtown than there ever have been since my experience has been in Juneau. Less complaints than there was. The increases in parking garage spaces that have pay boxes, those seem like those should be pretty easy to supervise. And also, I think that perhaps this is misplaced being in the Parks and Rec Department or in community development. I believe we have people at the police department that are tasked with parking enforcement. And perhaps that would be a place to look, that we put this work burden on. And I don't have in front of me right now the minutes from before, but I believe what was said was that it was 0.3 of a position, 0.3 FTE, but that's going by memory from a meeting a couple of months ago, was the amount of staff time devoted to managing the parking situation. I don't believe that we should increase our budget. We've got, I believe, 1,471 employees or 1,741? 1,700 employees. That I did the math today. That works out to one city employee for every 18 citizens, 18.3 citizens in the city. Boy, that's a lot of people. I can't imagine that we can't find somebody to do that without having to hire another one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hernan-Kervis. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Hernan-Kervis spoke for both of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Any other comments? Ms. Crane?
Well, I am going to support this ordinance. I don't know that I would support it beyond the end of this fiscal year, but I do believe that we have some significant problems at the moment that need to be dealt with our parking vendor and any number of other issues that we need to be taking a look at. And so I see my vote for this as supporting this through the end of this fiscal year, and then it's up for grabs with all other positions after that. I don't know that I would support it beyond then, but I do think we need to bring some concentrated attention to the parking problem at the moment, and I hope we can have some of these problems solved by the end of the fiscal year.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess that somewhat is where I was heading also. Is there a part of this description that says that this person would actually be working toward resolving this problem? I see facility management and contract management and stakeholder liaison and program management, which includes education and enforcement, but we have is there something that, is that what that is for? That's what it's going to be. Is that the contract? They're going to be able to work that out? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I wasn't sure because I didn't remember what those initials stood for. So that is the problem with that. Okay, I still find I have a hard time with this $50,000, so I'm still not going to support it. But if it passes, I hope it's for short term.
Thank you, Madam Becker. And Madam Manager, if you would just review the dollars and where the dollars are coming from for this for us.
Sure. There's $15,000 coming in the parking fee in lieu of payment. and then $35,000 out of the downtown parking funds currently to make up the $50,000 through the end of this fiscal year.
So none of it is coming from the general fund?
There is funding, general fund funding in the downtown parking funds that have already been allocated for this year, but there's no additional general fund funding coming for it.
Right. Thank you. Mr. Keough?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I won't repeat that my part of the discussion at the Finance Committee the other week. We talked about this and the short-term needs for a position dedicated to getting a handle on the downtown parking problems, and I think they are significant. And I don't know if it's a six-month fix or if it's an 18-month fix, but certainly this Assembly has left open the funding, left empty the funding for positions in the past. We have quite a few now. It's not something foreign to us. And the great concern I have is that while we have some portion of one full-time employee, I don't remember if it was 0.3 or 0.26 or whatever it was, funded for parking now, it's about a job and a half in terms of the work burden. And that resource is being pulled from other places. So I think and I believe that this can be done without becoming a permanent addition. But I do think that we need the resources in the short term to get a handle on this.
Thank you, Mr. Keough. Anyone else? Mr. Jones.
Just a question. I'm trying to make up my mind on this one, but I believe in the agenda there's, at least on the agenda, it says that there's an executive session on parking management at the end of the Assembly meeting tonight. And I was just wondering if there would be anything happening there that might change my mind about this ordinance. So I guess I'm curious whether we should be voting now or after the executive session.
So we could take it up after the executive session?
There, you will have additional information through the executive session. The city attorney said that you can take this item up after the executive session if you would like to wait to hear the short report in executive session.
Is that the wishes of the committee?
Certainly would be my wish at this point. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hearing no objections. Pardon me?
Table to the end of the meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that we table the motion until later on in the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Are there any objections to tabling the motion until after the executive session? Thank you. So ordered. Okay, we'll move on to Ordinance 2013-11S. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $100,000 as funding for an economic development plan, funding provided by closed capital projects.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager.
Yes, the funding for this ordinance would be provided by the closing of the ADA compliance CIP. That was a CIP that was put in place after we had the Department of Justice come visit us and had a list of things that we needed to complete, and that is now completed. We also will be closing the Wetlands Mitigation Bank CIP, which was something that had been talked about a number of years ago to create a Wetlands Mitigation Bank, and the determination not to go forward with that. And then the final amount of $38,303 will come from the Lemon Flats Second Access Right-of-Way CIP, and it's been a project that's been inactive for a number of years, and it these recommendations were forwarded to the Public Works and Facilities Committee today, and they recommended forwarding to the Assembly. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance, 2013-11S? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move to Assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Ordinance 2013-11S.
and ask for unanimous consent.
Objection?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Read the roll, please, Madam Clerk.
Good to speak to it.
Sure. Go ahead, Mr. Jones. Sorry. I'm just moving forward here.
I guess this is the first time that we've had this discussion at an assembly when we can actually vote on it. We have had discussions about what's in the RFP. I know that, and I have reviewed that. I know a lot of us have. My problem with this is a couple-fold. One is that by an ordinance, we established the Juneau Economic Development Council to be the economic committee for the borough, and we seem to be bypassing that particular group. I understand that they, like anybody else, can apply, but we, as an assembly, in the past, in adopting that, have set them up to be this group. And I don't know exactly why we didn't, say, find the funding, ask them to do it, whether they need to subcontract out part of it or do it all with their own staff, figure it out a price. I don't understand why we didn't do that. Secondly, at the Public Works Committee today, I was asking what the source of the CIP money was. Most of it, I believe, was at least reported then that it came out of sales tax revenues, which I assume that if they're not spent, go back into the general fund as part of the fund balance, because it said this was part of the 3% tax, not the 1% that people vote on for particular projects. Would give us time to make it part of the ordinary budget process and not a CIP. For those reasons, I'm having sort of a tough time supporting it, even though I think coming up with an economic development plan would be a good idea for us to do. But I'm not comfortable with the process and having JEDC sort of out of the loop without a lot of discussion on the assembly.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other comments, questions? Seeing none, did somebody move that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was.
And I still maintain my objection.
Okay, and objections, call the roll, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
And you have 5 A's and 3 nays.
Thank you. Ordinance 2013-11S has been adopted. We'll move on to Ordinance 2013-11T. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $160,000 as funding for legal services provided by the City and Borough of Juneau's Law Department to Bartlett Regional Hospital and the Juneau School District, funding provided by interdepartmental charges.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager.
These funds are from amounts already appropriated for the FY14 legal services as part of both Bartlett Regional Hospitals and the Juneau School District's operating budget. Previously, legal services were provided to both entities by outside counsel. This change in approach would allow a more effective and centralized management of the CBJ risks and would reduce legal costs overall. With this funding, the Law Department intends to hire an additional attorney and support staff, which is necessary in order to allow it to provide this additional service. Both the Bartlett Regional Hospital Board and the School Board have approved this change in approach and associated funding. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on Ordinance 2013-11-T? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Madam Crane.
I move adoption of Ordinance 2013-11-T and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you, everyone. That concludes the adoption of ordinances. We move on to unfinished business.
None, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Manager, and we'll move on to new business. Law Department.
On September 24th, 2013, the Planning Commission issued a final decision denying a request to rezone property described as USS 381FR from D10 to LC, light commercial. The petitioner, Richard Harris, representing RH Development, filed a notice of appeal on September 30th, 2013. The notice of appeal and the notice of decision are in your packet. The assemblies in the would be the appeal agency for this appeal, and its actions are governed by 0150. The code requires that upon receiving an appeal, the assembly must first decide whether to accept or reject it. Those standards are set out in 0150-030. The appellate, the permit holder, and the Planning Commission have been advised that this matter is pending before the Assembly. The following procedural issues should be decided. One, will the Assembly accept the appeal? Two, will the Assembly hear the appeal itself or assign a hearing officer? If the Assembly hears the appeal itself, will the Mayor preside or will he designate another member as a presiding officer?
Thank you. What's the wishes of the Assembly?
Yes, good question.
What?
Okay. May I ask the Law Department a question? Is there any reason that this should or should not be heard legally?
Under 4975-130, the appeal is laid out in code. He has a right to appeal this. I can see no reason why you could deny it at this point.
Any other questions? Question number one before us then is, will the Assembly accept the appeal? Are there any objections to that? Hearing none, we accept the appeal. Number two, will the Assembly hear the appeal itself or assign to a hearing officer? And there's a couple of pros and cons to that. Madam Law Department, could you give us an opinion on that?
Even if it were assigned to a hearing officer, the matter would come before you anyway. The process in this case is if you were to, the ultimate decision, an ultimate yes decision would result in an ordinance change, would also come before you in a public hearing process, so it seems to add an unnecessary layer to send it to a hearing officer.
Thank you, Madam Law. Mr. Nankervis?
Mr. Mayor, I'd move that the Assembly hear the appeal itself, and I believe it's probably my turn to take on one of these if the body wishes to assign me as a presiding officer.
Is there anybody else who wishes to be the presiding officer on this appeal? Seeing no volunteers.
I was worried I was going to get
And I assume that.
Thank you, Jerry.
Each one of you have approved that we hear it ourselves, and Mr. Nankervis has very graciously volunteered to do this one, and this one will be a learning experience for sure for all of us. And Madam Law Department, again, will you go over the next little paragraph about the Assembly sitting in its quasi-judicial capacity?
Assembly members should avoid discussing the case outside the hearing process. With respect to this issue, the appellate code provides as follows. The functions of the hearing officer and those appeal agency members participating in decisions shall be conducted in an impartial manner with due regard for the rights of all parties and the facts and the law, and consistent with the orderly and prompt dispatch of proceedings. Hearing officers and appeal agency members, except to the extent required for the disposition of ex parte matters, shall not engage in interviews concerning the appeal with or receive evidence or argument on the appeal from a party, directly or indirectly, except upon opportunity for all other parties to be present. Copies of all communications with a hearing officer or appeal agency member concerning the appeal shall be served upon all parties.
Thank you, Madam Lawyer. Any questions about all that from the Assembly members? Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. move on to staff reports.
Just a couple updates. The lobbyist contract has been finalized and signed. We are continuing to move forward with the senior citizen exemption card. Finance staff is continuing to work with businesses that have their own senior exemption cards to ask them to stop using their own and to use ours. And we will continue to work with two big businesses in town to iron that out, and they both have said they are working on it. Thank you for approving the economic development plan funding. The economic development plan RFP is out to the public, and the evaluation committee will include Carlton Smith, and we should be doing scoring of those proposals sometime the first week or two of December. With RFPs, the timing of it sometimes gets extended if there's questions about the RFP, and we give people more time to be able to answer the RFP. So that's why I'm saying approximately the beginning of December is when those will be done. Also, an update for you. This isn't a policy that has in the past come to the Assembly, but I'll be revising the CBJ tree policy. We've had a number of issues recently. And reviewing our current tree policy, it's out of date and it needs to be evaluated. We had issues where we had dangerous trees that the policy says it's up to the people that bring it to our attention. If it's on our property, that they have to, it's their cut at their expense. And that's not good for us. If we have a hazardous tree on our property, we need to take care of it. So that's the policy right now states that. So we definitely need to clean it up. We've got a committee of CBJ employees that will be working on that. And those are the updates for tonight.
Thank you very much, Madam Manager. And you've been getting weekly updates from the manager, and I asked her to give two or three or four of those topics to us at the Assembly level also, because I think some of us don't read those things or don't pay attention to them unless we're very interested in that specific topic, and I just wanted to make sure that communication is back and forth between us and her as the manager. So it's an important part of her job. Anything else, Madam Manager?
No, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead.
I might. I would also like to have an update on the property in Douglas that Mr. Holman's property in Douglas and where we are with that. I thought we had, you don't have to do it now, but in writing or at some point, I'd like to know where we are with that. I had thought at one point that we had that situation solved, and then I understand it is not. So.
So I'm happy to give an update if it's.
Go ahead.
So the lawsuit is still pending. The judge has a motion for summary judgment where we've filed to put a lien on his property for the cost of the construction. There is no trial date. The court vacated the trial date. I suspect that the entire matter will be dealt with on summary judgment. That deals with all of the matters that the CBJ could affirmatively deal with that were of imminent and emergency nature. There are other issues with the home that are still pending. The building official's order is still in place prohibiting anyone from living there or entering the property without his notice and order. The sale that was pending with the contractor fell through, and no one can live there yet. We're waiting to hear from the court. Once the court decides the issue, we may be able to take further steps, but we're at the mercy of the court for the moment.
And do we have any idea when we will hear from them?
The court has 6 months from the date the briefing was completed to issue a decision, or longer if the judge decides to go without a paycheck.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the report? Thank you. And Ms. Mead will be giving us updates on different things that are in law also in the coming meetings as we move along, too. So. There's a lot of things that are going on that not necessarily all of us are privileged to know, and I think those are a lot of them are things that we need to know and stay on top of, and they've agreed to look at that stuff and move it forward to us to be able to get the information. Anything else? Any other questions? I'll move forward with the mayor's report under assembly reports. And last Friday, I was privileged to go up to Skagway and meet with the Yukon government officials. And we talked about an economic development corridor through the Klondike Highway corridor and down into Skagway for not only economic development, but for telecommunications and anything else that we need, and power back and forth with West Creek Hydro that is being looked at down in Skagway, and I guess one of the other lakes up in Yukon territory, they're looking at another hydro up there, and we want to be able to make sure that we're meeting both of our needs, both Yukon, BC, and Alaska Southeast needs for that power generation to be able to go back and forth across the border. So Minister Scott Kent from the Ministry of Energy, Mines, and Resources, Minister Curry Dixon, Minister of Economic Development, Shirley Abercrombie, Assistant Deputy Minister from Energy, Mines, and Resources, and several other Canadian officials met with Commissioner Susan Bell, Deputy Director of Alaska Energy Authority, Jean Thoreau, and Robert Venables, who's the Energy Coordinator at Southeast Conference, and Mark Schaefer, who's the current mayor of Skagway, and Stan Selmer, the former mayor of as of last week from Skagway, and then myself as the mayor of Juneau and Southeast Conference board member was in attendance. A very good meeting, very productive. We did some tours up there and showed them some of the capabilities that we had at Ada's ore terminal and on the hydropower systems that Skagway has available to it at this time. Another thing that has been going on, somebody has seen the news release for Southeast Alaska, and that was the ADA MOU with Niblack Mines and that project down there. So ADA is looking at the mill site closer to Ketchikan and whether that's economically feasible. And they'll be working on trying and getting a report out in the next year down there on that topic. Dawson Construction at Walter Soboloff Center has been busy, as you've all noticed, the different interesting building concepts that they're using. They're putting in, seems like, about 4 feet of concrete at the bottom of that fill and sealing it up real well so the tide doesn't come in there. Later on, as you know, Sea Alaska's building in the garage has had water in it in the past, and the old city or the old State Museum had water come in both from the top and from tidal efforts. So they're definitely learning some different tactics. Hopefully they'll work well and that we don't get anything unusually wet that is being built below the tidal elevations. The tower crane is up and being used. They placed most of the foundation and slab, another week or two of that, and they'll be coming up with steel. So there's going to be a lot of activity in the next 2 months at the Walter Soboloff Center. It'll be interesting to watch them do the erector set and bring that up through to fruition. And one last thing, everybody is cordially invited to the Alaska Association of Student Governments Leadership Conference. This is a big conference that they're having on Friday, October 18th, Alaska Day, 7 p.m., Juneau Douglas High School, Main Gym. And any of you or all of you are invited to go to this and participate with the high school kids on Government Day. Any questions for me? Thank you. We'll move on to committee reports. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The meeting of October 28th that was to be a committee of the whole meeting will be an assembly meeting instead. So we'll start with an assembly meeting at 6 with a special assembly meeting and then continue into the meeting, which will include a meeting with the Planning Commission. And the reason that it's changing from a committee of the whole to an assembly meeting is because there will perhaps be some action taken, and that needs to be done in an assembly meeting, not a committee of the whole meeting. So that's the 28th. And that's all, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee met this afternoon at noon, and we've dealt with the various items that came from there, but I do have one that I need to request some information and assistance from the city manager on. One of the actions we took today was recommend to the assembly that the mayor or the city manager send a letter to the Alaska Department of Transportation about some of the STIP amendments that they're proposing. But did we take care of that with the consent agenda, Madam Manager?
No, we did not.
So I move that the assembly designate the mayor and sign the letter encouraging DOT to work with our staff to come up with suitable solutions to the Lake Wayside problem in the STIP amendments. That's been recommended to the assembly for approval by the Public Works and Facilities Committee.
And Mr. Wanamaker, did you get a chance? I wasn't at the whole meeting this afternoon, so I don't know if you were presented with the letter from Mr. Watt to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was the letter we're talking about. So
okay.
We made some grammatical corrections to it, and
okay.
That's it, grammatical.
Okay.
And we're recommending that either the mayor or the city manager sign it and proceed.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Warner. We'll do that. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This evening's Human Resources Committee was canceled. No report.
Thank you. Madam Craig?
There is a Finance Committee meeting this Wednesday evening. You have been given the packet to look at before the meeting, and the meeting will start at 5:30.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. From Finance, everybody, make sure you pay attention to the Finance Committee agenda there. It's all laid out in front of you, and you have it. Don't say you don't. Mr. Smith is gone. Mr. Wanamaker already went. Mr. Jones, how about liaison reports?
Just one, the JEDC board is meeting at noon on Wednesday. Part of the agenda, and I guess maybe they're meeting actually tomorrow. I won't be there. Part of the agenda is to review the applications for board members on JEDC, and then once they are done following the protocol of the assembly ordinance and stuff, that information will be forwarded to the assembly for approval. That was all I have as liaison reports. Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, why don't you go ahead and while we're there, just give us an update on your appeals?
As far as I know, they're all moving forward on time. The first appeal, I think it's C. O'Brien, actually will be before the assembly on October 30th. The other one is sometime in November, but I can't remember the date. But I believe the briefing, filing of all the papers, all of that is moving along. Because I think if it hadn't, I'd have heard.
Okay. And Ms. Mead and Ms. Sika, everything's flowing along on those two appeals? Okay. Documentation is getting thicker and thicker? Okay.
Not that thicker. Not as thick as Mr. Nankervis's appeal is going to be, I can tell you.
Anything else, Mr. Jones?
No.
Thank you very much. Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First off, I'll go with the airport board. There was a meeting last Wednesday on the 9th where a bunch of things were discussed. First off, the list, Abby's Kitchen was selected as the new food and beverage concessionaire, and they're in the process of working through negotiations with her on how that is going to work. I think that's great. We need some food in the airport. That would go well. The police department went out to the airport and assumed responsibility on October 1st, and according to the airport staff, they are doing a good job out there. It's nice to hear that. On September 14th, they conducted their airport emergency drill. I believe she called it triannual. I thought it was biannual, but it might be once every 3 years. They have a faux disaster out there, and it involves a lot of people, fire department, police department, airport, hospital.
in the schools, they had a lot of volunteers from the schools, so they had a lot of victims from their 737 out there. I don't know which school it was, but they trucked a lot of kids out there, and it went very well, and they did, it worked as planned, and that they found where the bumps were, and they're going to work on fixing those bumps, and that was nice to see. There will be an Eagle Scout awarded recognition here November 4th, that's what I've been told anyway, at the assembly for somebody that had to do with the landscape. I don't want to blow it all now, but landscape stuff out at the airport. Also, the Red Cross went out there and was teaching their new, I'm not going to say hands-free because it's not hands-free, it's mouth-free, face-free CPR. And they also worked with them on the Heimlich maneuver, and that day or the night before, that the bartender, John Cobb or Cobby, K-O-B-B-E is how you spell his name, had a patron choking and used a Heimlich maneuver, and just like it worked in the movies, it worked for him, and I got the person breathing again, and that worked out really well. What else did I have from the airport? I had that they have gotten a grant for, which I believe we're aware of, their master plan renewal or update on the master plan. The PRAC met on October 1st. I wasn't able to attend. That was election night, and I think most of us were busy doing something or out of town on that day. But included in our Parks or Public Works and Facilities Committee brochure today was a letter that they put out regarding the STIP, the Auk Lake Wayside Project. And I believe that dominated the majority of the conversation. I have not seen the minutes from that yet. The Juneau Commission on Sustainability, which Assemblymember Troll might be able to tell me if I get any of this wrong or if I left anything out, because I believe she's been at more of those than I have. We had that at the library, and we've been discussing solid waste and recycling issues, and there was also a letter sent out from the commission on the library and concerns over the library, and I'll use my word, which is sustainability, long-term sustainability regarding the heating and the choice of design and materials that were going to be used in that, and I thought that went out to the whole assembly. No, okay, if I'm the only one that got that, I will be forwarding that. Sorry. I assume when I get it on my assembly email, everybody gets it. So that was the other thing that is going on, and I have no report or update on my presiding officer activity yet.
Why not, Mr. Nanakervis? Expectations are high. Ms. Troll, do you have anything to add to that report on Sustainability Commission since you've been going?
Just that the letter dealing with the Mendenhall Library was just reviewing how to make the design a little bit more energy efficient and looking at long term for energy savings. So,
My term was sustainability, but that.
Yeah.
We're going
out. And who did that letter go to?
Help me out.
It went to Donna Pierce, Nathan Coffey, and Robert Barr.
The
and then
team
Mr. Nanakervis got his copy as a member of the commission, so you were copied on it.
Okay, good. Thank you, Ms. Kroll. Ms. Crane?
As you know, the hospital CEO has resigned, and the hospital board there has proceeded quickly with recruitment for an interim CEO, and recruitment interviews, I understand, are going well, and the board should have a reasonable selection of candidates with almost immediate availability very soon. So they do have a transition plan in place.
Good. Thank you, Ms. Green. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The major Eagle Crest item we acted on tonight was the cell tower lease approval to proceed. And while I don't know that they're going out to more places around the community to sell season passes, I have seen them everywhere. Maybe I'm getting out more this year. But season pass sales are proceeding apace, and the numbers are looking pretty good as compared to previous years. If we have a really good snow year again, the financial picture for Eagle Crest only continues to improve. The Affordable Housing Commission, you should all have received that. Mr. Nanakervis has made me nervous here, but you should all have received a letter from the Affordable Housing Commission expressing support I'm recommending the Assembly support the proposed development on Vista Drive, funded by the AHFC program. And the Commission heard a presentation and had discussion about that, and strongly recommends it to the Assembly. Those are my reports, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel, and I got it anyway, so some of us are getting some of those things. Mr. Wanamaker, go ahead.
No report tonight, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Alaska Committee discussed a number of things, but I'll just mention a few. They talked about gavel-to-gavel. Bill DeShore was there, and the CBJ, through the Alaska Committee, funds half of the gavel-to-gavel costs, and the costs are so reasonable that we do a better job, I'm sure, at a lower price than the 25 other states that have the same type of program. So yay to KCMO and gavel-to-gavel. There's a lot of concern about parking, surprise, because of the confusion, and there's a real concern that this confusion should be alleviated before the legislature comes to town. And there's a request that the rental agencies be informed of what's going on so that they can tell their rental folks how to handle the parking. The legislative reception has, the work is being done. Our staff, CBJ staff, and JCVB are working hard on that. And the reception will be the 23rd of January 23rd. And the lobbyist is attending the Alaska Committee meetings and intends to continue attending them, as Clark Greening has done also. On campus council, there's a lot of construction going on out there. The dorm is being constructed, and Spike the Whale is getting his place prepared, and he will be dedicated, or she, Spike, could be either, will be dedicated October 25th from 5 to 7, and that work should be finished out there this week in preparation for that October 25th dedication. They're working on a three-year accreditation, and there's a new arts and science bachelor degree being offered this year. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Becker. Is there any other comments on liaison reports? What I would like to do is get permission from the Assembly to change things up here just a little bit and listen to any public participation on non-agenda items and then come back to Assembly comments and questions after the executive session. Hear the executive session, then take up the ordinance that we tabled till after this 2013-11R and move forward with that in that manner. Is there any objections to that? Ms. Crane?
I do have a motion that I want to offer for Assembly consideration and had planned to do it under Assembly comments and questions.
We're going to hear Assembly comments and questions after sure. Executive sessions, ma'am.
All right.
Okay. So you'll have your opportunity there. City manager?
Yes, there was a comment about the STIP letter that I believe Mr. Wanamaker wanted to move forward tonight for the Assembly to forward. It is timely to get our comments into Department of Transportation on the STIP amendment. That is in your packet under Public Works and Facilities. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, the draft letter is in there.
That's the one for Mr. Watt?
That's the one for Mr. Watt.
We already said yes to that.
Oh, I didn't hear the approval of it.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know that we approved it.
Yeah. Is there any doubt in anybody's mind?
Mr. Mayor, yeah, I had some doubt. He made the motion, and then we spoke about it, but I never heard him ask for you.
Is there anybody object to us looking at the letter and then sending the letter off for the STIP amendment, STIP 8 amendments? Thank you. Any other comments on that? Okay, now it's official.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ms. Becker?
The only concern I have about us making our comments after executive session is that I had two comments I kind of wanted the public to hear, and I don't know that they're going to stick around till after executive session.
Does anybody else fall in that category? Can we amend the rules so that Ms. Becker can say her comments, and then we'll move forward the way I proposed? Thank you. We'll amend the rules. Ms. Becker, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to add to what he said about the Ossoff thing. There are 323 students coming from around the state to our JDHS for the SOSOG, so that's really a big deal. And when the person at the bottom, to whom you are to RSVP, sent out this plea, she's really looking for people to come and sit at the tables and talk to these students. And you don't have to be an assembly member. You can be a wonderful public person. And so I really want to encourage you to do that. And the other thing is that I had already announced that October 17th was going to be the groundbreaking for the Seward statue. That date has been changed to October 24th, and the groundbreaking will still take place at the court building at 11 o'clock in the morning. It will be short but important, and I hope that people can come to that because it will be a nice kickoff for our raising funds to put a Seward statue in the court plaza. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Becker. So what we're going to do is move forward with executive session. Then we're going to move on. We'll do continuation of public participation right now. Is there anybody who wishes from the public to speak to us on non-agenda items? Seeing and hearing none, public comment is closed. We will move forward with executive session, then have assembly comments and questions afterwards, and take action on Ordinance 2013-11-R. Is that okay with everybody? Madam Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we recess to executive session to discuss a financial matter, and that financial matter is the parking management.
Can we have a quick break?
Yep. Yes, we can. Recess for 5 minutes.
Support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping to reach educational savings goals. Save in Alaska. Study anywhere. Information at uacollegesavings.com.
And you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. The Assembly has recessed to executive session to discuss parking management. The weather forecast for the rest of tonight is decreasing clouds, scattered showers, diminishing late, patchy fog late, lows around 41. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, scattered rain showers, highs around 47. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, isolated rain showers, patchy fog late, lows around 40. Wednesday, partly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 50. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, patchy fog late, lows around 39. Thursday, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 50. Friday, mostly cloudy, chance of rain, highs around 49. And I am going to play some music and check in with City Hall to see how long the executive session will go on and see if we can return to the assembly meeting when they adjourn their executive session. And you're listening to KTOO News, and we are waiting for the Juno Assembly to come back from executive session. The time is 9 o'clock, and you're listening to KTOO. The weather for tonight, rest of tonight, decreasing clouds, scattered showers, diminishing late, patchy fog late, lows around 41. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, scattered rain showers, highs around 47. And the music I'm playing is Beauty and Fire by Tomas Michaud. is KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. This is the broadcast of the City Assembly meeting. Actually, it's a recess from the broadcast as they are in executive session discussing parking management. Stay tuned. We will broadcast the end of the meeting. You're listening to KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. and you're listening to KTOO FM in Juneau, Alaska. We're currently waiting for the Juneau Assembly to come back from executive session so that we can broadcast the rest of the meeting. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your patience.
We're back in session. We have before us the tabled motion ordinance 2013-11R. Anyone wish to take it off the table? Mr. Keel.
Mr. Mayor, I ask unanimous consent that we take from the table 2013-11R so that we may consider it.
Are there any objections to that? Hearing none, so ordered. We have before us ordinance 2013-11R, and there was a motion to pass that from Ms. Crane, if I remember right. Is that far back?
I remain to object.
Thank you. Mr. Jones?
I guess I'd like to ask a clarification. Would it be appropriate to make a motion to table this ordinance until after our next briefing by the administration in November?
I believe we can table to a time certain.
I object. I would object to this.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if we can table some same thing twice.
That's why I was asking.
I'd have to look it up.
Okay. Why not? You can.
We could vote it and ask for reconsideration.
Well, you could do that, but there's no reason why you can't table it twice.
Okay. I have a question for the attorney.
Go ahead.
I don't remember all my little rules, Mrs. Attorney. But I think the requirement for taking something off the table requires more than a simple majority.
I don't think so.
Unanimous consent to take from the table already?
We didn't vote on that.
There was no objection for taking it off the table.
I objected.
To taking it from the table?
Oh, not your motion. Right. I objected to tabling it until date certain.
No. My understanding is there was no objection to taking it off the table.
Right.
No, that's what I heard.
That means that eight of us said yes to it.
Okay.
We're okay with that one.
Okay. As long as that, I don't remember it being that way, but it was okay.
There's a rule on when it's renewable, so we'll just.
Mr. Jones, do you still want to hold the table?
I was asking if it was appropriate to make the motion, and what I'm sort of hearing is somebody said no, you can't table it twice, and others are not so sure. So okay. I haven't made the motion. I was just trying to find out if it was appropriate to make.
Thank you.
Is there any reason why he has to use the word table? It's not a matter of tabling it. It can be just it's an amendment to the motion or something, isn't it?
No, it's not an amendment to the motion.
Yeah, you can table it again. I don't see anything that prohibits a second motion to table it to a time certain.
Then I would move that we table ordinance serial number 2013-11R until after our next briefing in November.
Are there any objections to that? Ms. Crane objects. Anybody wish to speak to that? Roll call. to table. Okay. Till our next, after our next briefing.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Keough?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Four A's, four nays. Motion fails.
Okay, we have before us ordinance 2013-11R. The motion to table failed, so the original ordinance is before us again. Any comments? Any questions? Any objections?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Roll call. Ms. Sika.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Keough?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Four A's, four nays. Motion fails.
All right. Now we move on to assembly. Comments and questions. I just have three things that I want to bring before you. You looked at the seniority list that's in the front of your blue binder. Make sure everybody pays attention to that. We have a draft liaison and assembly committee assignments that we'll hand out right here.
Oh, good. I'm afraid I missed that.
Yeah, me too.
No. So those are going around, and what I want you to do is take those home and look at them, and if you have any serious problems with how the assignments have been dealt out, make sure you come and see me or give me a call. And then if you'll look on the second page there, there is the list of committee and liaison assignments and who is assigned to what on that page. The clerks have polled all of you, and the best day for a retreat is October 30th. Jesse has a couple appointments in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. So if we started the retreat at 8 o'clock in the morning here and finished it by 12, and I'll promise you that we will, then, or we'll adjourn by then, whether we'll be finished or not, maybe something different, but we'll run it for 4 hours that day and see how far we get on our different topics. If you have any topics that you want to see reviewed during our retreat, such as a financial report that we're going to have, the law department is not going to be there for that one, but they'll give us an update on law department stuff in the next month after that. Assembly goals are going to be a big topic for that day, and it would be nice to have each one of you who have ideas for our assembly goals to get those turned in to me. And then I'll tabulate them into a list of goals. And I think Mr. Wanamaker's suggestion of a year ago to try to hold down our goals to a number that we can actually get accomplished and to things that we can actually get accomplished in the next year and maybe look at two or three others for a long-term situation. I think those were his ideas from last year that we didn't quite meet. We added a bunch at the last minute, and I think that those are good goals for us to strive to this year. So we'll be setting our goals on that day also. Is there any problem with the October 30th date for 4 hours?
Starting at 8 a.m.
Starting at 8 a.m.
Just have the coffee ready.
Lots of it.
We do have that, but we've already done that a couple of times.
Yeah, I know that.
because I've been around. 8 a.m.
My priority is this assembly, yeah, so.
I know. I'm just telling you.
Yeah. No, I knew it. That night, we do have another meeting. What's the?
It's the appeal on O'Brien's still. Okay.
So at 5 o'clock that night, we're going to have another 1 to 2 hours worth of meetings also, so.
The current rules is I believe we gave everybody 20 minutes each, I think. So it's 40 minutes then plus whatever our discussion takes.
Okay. Okay. So the retreat is set. Anybody have any comments, questions?
Regarding the retreat or just in general?
In general. Well, I'm trying just to get past these three items right now.
All right.
And the draft proposals for liaisons and assignments. And then we'll go into assembly comments and questions now. Ms. Crane?
Yes. We've all received letters regarding from the building and trades regarding the project labor agreements. And I have a motion to offer to the assembly for consideration. I would like to move that the Assembly confirm its policy that PLAs will be used to the fullest extent of the law, and further request that the Docks and Harbors Director engage with the Juneau Building Trades to reconcile any legal issues that may prevent attachment of a PLA to Project 16B.
Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support the motion. Public Works and Facilities has begun to start work with this city attorney to draft a uniform policy and program so that the city can follow our PLA policy without inconsistency to set up a standardized review process that will involve multiple personnel so that we provide a group reviewing rather than one person where arbitrariness or misunderstanding may occur. And we can arrive at, through that group, would hopefully arrive at a group consensus as how to resolve any potential conflict with the PLA and arrive at a group determination and recommendation rather than an individual one coming from a department. And so that it can be applied across all city departments and entities uniformly. And I support the motion and just wanted to let you know that the Public Works and Facilities Committee has already begun the dialogue with law to develop that as per assembly direction at a committee of the whole meeting several months ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support the motion as well. And I want to applaud the Public Works and Facilities Chair for beginning that process. I think in particular the project mentioned in the motion would benefit greatly from application of our policy to use project labor agreements wherever we can. We saw this year the impact, and we'll see them in the budget, of missing cruise ships when they missed for mechanical reasons, when some skipped Southeast communities for weather reasons. And with these dock projects, we run the risk, if they're not delivered on time, of self-inflicted financial wounds. I think you all got, when we first started getting letters from the building trades about this, I asked the manager's office for some information on the last 5 years worth of project labor agreements that we've done. And when you look at our very large projects, our projects over $10 million, the on-time performance of projects with a PLA is dramatically better. It's night and day better than those without. So I think there are a number of important public policy goals that a PLA can serve and advance for the city on this. So I'm strongly in favor of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Anyone else? Mr. Jones.
I guess I just had a couple of questions, given that the 16B project is already out for bid on a sealed bid. I believe its due date is within a couple, 3 weeks. Maybe has been extended a couple of weeks because of some issues with a particular contractor. And so my question is,
while I don't perceive this motion to be ordering Docks and Harbors to put a PLA, if they were to do that, what impact would it have on the current bid, and potentially, given Mr. Keel's concern that it be done on time, you know, it's already out about 2 or 3 years based on the potential manufacturer of the concrete floats and stuff like that. What's the impact on that bid? Does that bid get pulled completely and have to be redone? Is there an amendment we can do without penalty? Or do we have to pay people's prep time if they've already done it? Is there any impact on us?
Most of the bids, and I haven't looked at this one in particular, contain language that say we can pull the bid for our convenience or for whatever reason we desire. With a project labor agreement, in order for it to be legally defensible, what has to happen is the entity making the decision has to articulate a legitimate, strong government interest in having the PLA, and then the PLA needs to be drafted with in such a way that the language of the PLE meets those government interests. That's where the lawsuit comes from. That's what is reviewed by a court, is whether we've articulated a legitimate interest and the PLA matches it and serves those goals. So there would need to be a policy discussion and reasons articulated first before we can even talk about what needs to go into the bid in order to make it a PLA bid.
And you're talking about any bid right now. You're not just, I mean, Mr. Jones is trying to talk in reference to just that one particular bid and what's going to happen if...
It would have to be pulled, and Docks and Harbors would have to come up with policy reasons for moving forward with the PLA, and then the bid would have to go back out.
Then the question, may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
If the RFP is pulled, that review takes place, that dialogue takes place, and the decision stays the same, which was not to have a PLA, what kind of impact, does that have any impact at all?
On
the fact that they pulled it and people have already done their plans or people, I know there's RFP prep costs that go into a bid by potential contractors. I'm just asking.
No, if we pulled it, we don't incur any costs.
Right.
There might be, I haven't read this particular bid. There might be
I haven't either, so I'm
that
just
we
asking.
Could do. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mrs. Green?
Well, my question is this. If it is the CBJ policy, which I understand it has been, that PLAs will be used to the fullest extent of the law, why are we not doing that evaluation before we do an RFP? So that we really look at that and look at why, yes, it should be a PLA or no, it should not, instead of looking at this after the fact.
So I will tell you in a nutshell more than you ever wanted to know about PLAs right now. When PLAs are challenged, they're challenged on two grounds. They're challenged on equal protection grounds, and they're challenged on procurement code grounds. And what the court will look at is whether or not the municipality has articulated a legitimate government interest that outweighs the non-union members' right to seek their economic fortunes however they wish, and whether our PLA meets those governmental interests. That's the equal protection challenge. The procurement code challenge is very similar. It's whether or not the PLA meets the goals articulated in our procurement code. The cases that have been discussed here in the assembly chambers and been brought up as this is how the courts decided, all of the cases go the same way. There was an attorney general's opinion in 1999 that laid out these two processes, these two analyses that the court goes through. And this attorney general's opinion at the bottom talked about different projects that had passed equal protection challenge and procurement code challenge by courts. And one was a case where timing was a factor, and one was a case where it was a particularly complex project. And somehow this attorney's summarizing of the different types of cases that have gone before the court became understood to be a factor test. And so when the Assembly made the motion to use PLAs to the extent legally defensible, the piece that was missing was legally defensible. A no decision on a PLA is always legally defensible because they're not challenged. There's nothing to challenge when it's a no. The yes is where you get challenged, and the yes has nothing to do with a factor test. It's a balancing test. And so the articulation of the policy is the only way to determine if the use of a PLA is legally defensible, and that policy articulation has not happened. The PLA decisions come over with this factor analysis that is not enough for law to be able to determine whether it's legally defensible. So I think that the Assembly can move forward either with a resolution or another motion that articulates its intent that the departments go through this policy analysis, and when they can articulate reasons that make it worthwhile to go ahead and use it. And I think that's what Mr. Wanamaker would like me to draft for your review.
So a follow-up on that question is, did Docks and Harbors and the other one was Airport, they did an analysis.
Yes.
And they wrote up their analysis as they believed was correct in their own minds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it had to do with those 9 criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, there's many other criteria that are involved that maybe justify a PLA also.
Yes.
More than just those 9, but those are the 9 that we used back in 6 or 7 years ago when we voted on the policy itself. But Docks and Harbors actually did that analysis, did they not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just for Ms. Crane's benefit, and I know Airport did too. Mr. Wanamaker, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the point for me is this. We have a policy. And in my opinion, we need to convey the message to Docks and Harbors and every other city department that this is a citywide policy for everyone because it comes from the Assembly. It's not up to them to choose whether or not they wish to follow it. It's a citywide policy. And I think the motion that we have before us states it clearly. It doesn't order them to do anything, but it does encourage sitting down and talking about it, which I think is always healthy. So I still remain in favor of the motion and would like to see us vote on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hornegger. Mr. Jones?
Well, I guess as I read the original motion, which I think Mr. Wanamaker made back in however many years ago that motion was made at the Assembly, it says wherever is legally defensible. And what I heard from the attorney was not doing a PLA is always legally defensible. So I guess what I'm probably going to vote for the motion anyway, but I guess to me it just seems that until Public Works has articulated a policy that everybody can follow, Docks and Harbors, Airport, anybody else that has not done a PLA that has done that analysis has in fact followed the policy that had been instituted, good or bad, whatever. It just seems like the potential for Public Works Committee to come up with an articulated policy that Docks and Harbors could follow, you know, could delay the 16B 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. I don't know. And I just wonder if that's what we want to do on this particular project, given the issues that Mr. Keel raised regarding the timeliness of making sure that those docks are in place.
Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess if we have a policy that the Assembly has promoted that we look to use PLAs where appropriate, I don't understand the reason for looking for reasons not to use the direction that the Assembly's given. And I mean, I'm saying it just a little bit different way, but it sounds like they were with the 9
you said nine thing, that we're looking for a reason not to use PLAs versus the direction that the Assembly provided, which I wasn't on at the time, but that said that we should be looking for reasons to use them. Those just seem opposite to me. So, I'm in support of the motion as well. Thank you.
Ms. Becker?
When Dockson Harpers decided not to use PLA, did they come to our legal department? And how did they go through that process where they chose that they didn't have to use it, or they weren't following our standard? They decided they didn't have to do it.
So they went through the nine-factor test that has been in place, and they originally did send it to law for review, but the problem was it was a decision not to use a PLA, which there is nothing for me to review. I can't analyze the legal defensibility because there's nothing for me to look at. And so it was sent back to the staff members who made the decision, and then that's how it got to Dockson Harbor's board. I think that the breakdown is that, as Mayor Sanford just said, the focusing on the nine factors is artificially narrowing the focus, because just because those cases found those projects to be situations where a PLA was justified, there could be 50 other different types of cases that would also be legally defensible. It's all about coming up with the policy and articulating the reasons. So I think one problem has been that the way that the analysis has gone is it's been one staff member making the decision instead of what's being contemplated, which is a multi-person effort, which seems more, it seems like a better way to go when you're talking about coming up with a policy for the city moving forward with a project. So they did go through the process that had been in place, but there was nothing for me to review. And that's a change from past law department practice.
Does anybody need the motion read back to them?
I do.
I move that the Assembly confirm its policy that PLAs will be used to the fullest extent of the law, and further request that the Docks and Harbors Director engage with the Juneau Building Trades to reconcile any legal issues that may prevent attachment of a PLA to Project 16B.
Are there any objections to that motion? Hearing none, so ordered.
Oh, it's no. Return to Assembly comments and questions?
Yeah.
We usually start one end or the other. Can just start at one end or the other? I'll wait my turn.
I've already.
Mr. Wanamaker, you're next.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and fellow Assembly members. I've already let the city clerk know that I'll be gone November 11th through November 17th. Something like that. In other words, I leave on Monday, come back on Saturday evening, something like that. But that I'll be gone that entire week. But November 13th, the anniversary of the sinking of the USS Juneau, I'll be in Hudson County, New Jersey, attending the dedication of the new USS Juneau Memorial Facility. They've invited me to come. And they'll be dedicating their new county facility on the site where the original USS Juneau was built. They've invited me to come. They liked the ceremony that we did here last year, and they appreciated the help of the city staff in helping them retrieve USS Juneau records. And I got the invitation. The city staff did the work of organizing that. But as part of it, if I bring a proclamation with me from the city and borough of Juneau to honor the ship and the crew, they will put it into the agenda and make it part of their program. So I request that the assembly authorize the city manager to give me a copy of the, and the mayor to give me a copy of the last mayor's proclamation for the 70th anniversary. Let me reword it and give it back to the mayor and the city manager and see if it's suitable, and we can have it ready for assembly approval by our next assembly meeting, and I can take it with me, and the cost to the city will be the cost of the proclamation.
Any objections to that? Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. You have enough information there? To
I do. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Wanamaker?
No, other than I want to express my appreciation to the Assembly and the city staff for the work that they've been doing in their approval of the empty chair project. I get very emotional when I think about that because I was raised with those people and I learned their stories growing up. And to learn that my classmates were born in the internment camps, it's still very, it affects me very much to this day.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll shorten up my list here and just hit the essentials. This coming Monday and Tuesday, well, actually, we test them on Wednesday, but Monday and Tuesday, the 21st and 22nd of October, a very large, and I'm pleased to say growing group of volunteers will again teach an outdoor skills program for the students at Floyd Dryden Middle School. And I've been honored to help with coordinating that this year. It is a remarkable program that focuses on safety and survival skills for Alaska youth. Firearm safety and handling is an important part of that, but it goes much, much farther than that to include ethics and trip planning, cold water safety and survival, and more. I have sent all of you an invitation to join us either on Monday or Tuesday with and tour both the school and the activities at the Hunter Education Facility, where students will be doing a number of activities, including the shooting part of that. The exception to my invitations to tour, of course, would be Mr. Nankervis. He's not invited to tour because he's, again, volunteering with the program. And I just want to take the opportunity to thank him publicly for that, not his first year. So please, if there's any chance that any of you can join us, come out and see this program. It is a remarkable joint effort of the Forest Service, the Juneau School District, a huge number of volunteers, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and the Taku River Sportsmen's Association, who foots a large portion of the bill.
Can you repeat the dates again?
Monday and Tuesday, October 21 and 22, unless you want to help us proctor tests on the 23rd. But that's not as exciting to watch.
No, but I'm good at it.
Good point.
I was going to say.
And then my only other comment, Mr. Mayor, would be to welcome our newest member. We look forward to working with you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Crane?
Nothing else. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Ms. Troll?
I just would like to say it's an honor to be here, and I'm very glad that I didn't have to sit in Johan's seat. What a load that would be. his service is exemplary, and it's an honor to finally be here, and I was happy to vote on a couple of matters that I actually had some hand in beforehand, which was going to the JWAC presentation by Jenny Strickler on the sister city efforts in Kalibo, and then also having personally participated in the before and after program at the DZ Middle School. Those were the easy things. There were a couple of things that came up this evening that I was surprised at. So now I kind of am learning the ropes a little bit. And while I think I look forward to contributing, I would like to invite every assembly member to feel free to educate me along the way. Please do so. I have a learning curve, and I will try and get up to that as quickly as I can. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess Ms. Crane did have something to put in after all. I was going to the student government thing as well with Ms. Becker. I didn't know I had to answer to somebody, so now I'll get that flyer. I know who to write back to let them know I'm going to be there. Also, it looks like, at first glance here, on the list of boards and committee assignments where the back page lists the times, it looks like Lori and Beth have addressed the conflict on times Did you two look at that? Because it looks like there's not nearly the conflicts we've had in the past.
There's still
move some dates around a little? I mean, they're same days, but it looks like the times have jockeyed a little bit. And if not, if we have some more, just speaking from my experience being on the airport and the sustainability and finance, that there's some things that you're just going to run hard aground of. But where we can, if we can make sure that they're not conflicting, because even though I'm not a member or a liaison on a lot of these, I try and go to them, but I can only go to one at a time. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Derry. Mr. Jones.
Just a couple. I did attend the Bartlett Regional Hospital had put together and gone back into the 70s and even some of the 60s for trying to find former board members and invited us out for sort of an alumni thing. I think Ms. Crane was out there. And I found that very interesting and appropriate, or Ms. Becker, excuse me, that I get Smith and Jones all mixed up again. it was a good experience, and I think they're going to try to repeat it, and it was interesting to see some of the other members. I also attended the Fallen Firefighter Memorial, which was very moving, and it was just a nice evening, and the fun part of it was getting to see the 1927 fire truck up close and personal, and that was nice. One other thing on the 18th, I know I've talked about the JWAC Canadian Forum, which is 18th, 19th. I know there's a reception, and I know Ms. Becker wants us all to be at the high school, but in the morning of the 18th, you can get a great breakfast at the Senior Center. It's their annual pancake breakfast fundraiser. And I always seem to end up having breakfast with Ms. Becker and her husband, who never misses a good meal. So I suggest that everybody, her husband, not, I'll get that straight. I just suggest that the Senior Center, their pancake breakfast is really good, and it's only 10 or 12 bucks, and it's a good cause. I think it goes from, 8:30 in the morning till noon or something. It's for a long time. And usually John Venables is there as William Seward, and they have the Oompa Band, and it's actually quite a fun time. So y'all show up. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Is there anything else from anybody? Staff?
Nothing, thank you.
We are adjourned.
And you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. This concludes KTOO's broadcast of the City Assembly meeting. The next regular meeting is on November 4th, and you can hear it right here on 104.3. The weather for tonight, decreasing clouds, scattered showers, diminishing late, patchy fog late, lows around 41. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, patchy fog in the morning, scattered rain showers, highs around 47. We will join regular programming now in progress as it happens, and at 11 o'clock will be BBC World Service. I'm Martha Moore, your radio host this evening. Thanks for listening, and good night.
We are based in Damascus, and we work with the consent of the Syrian authorities. So the team left Damascus on the 10th of October, went to Idlib, and then did a cross-front line civil operation. And when we do that, of course, we're in touch with all parties, so at first the Syrian government, but also the various armed groups. And so the team had been in the field for 3 days, delivering medical aid, assessing the medical situation in rebel-controlled areas, of course, very volatile and difficult areas because they're so fragmented, there's so many groups active in those areas, and the difficulties of working there. But that's what the group of seven people was doing, was a joint convoy, ICRC, International Red Cross, and Syrian Arab Red Crescent. We've done